I love it when every now and again life throws us those little ironies. Here we are, Mother's Day weekend, and happy Mother's Day to all those to whom it applies. And in today's gospel, all we hear about is, my father, my father, my father, my father, and in case you hadn't gotten it, my father. But a happy Mother's Day to everyone. It's one of these gospels where there is a lot that Jesus gives us, a lot that Jesus speaks to us. But at the risk of sounding a bit over the top, I think I am on a one-man crusade to undo the damage of 2,000 years of Christian tradition where Thomas is concerned. You might have heard me mention it the Sunday after Easter, the Sunday following Easter, when every year we hear the story of Thomas doubting the resurrection of Jesus. But I really think we've given him a bad rap by calling him Thomas the Doubter or Doubting Thomas. He is one of the few apostles who was included in every listing or every mentioning of the apostles in all four Gospels and the Acts of the Apostles. We know Thomas was one of them. But at no point does Jesus ever reprimand Thomas for anything. We even see that distinction in today's Gospel. Thomas asks a question and Jesus answers it. Philip raises a question, or actually makes a statement, and it's to Philip that Jesus says, I've been with you this long, you still don't know me? It's interesting because just today, the President of the United States spoke the commencement address to Liberty University, no doubt slamming his own critics. One of his lines that stood out was where he said, there is nothing easier or more pathetic than being a critic. And it's to Jesus' critics that he often chides them and calls them to task. It is the Pharisees and the scribes who, in response to Jesus' words and actions, say, he's blaspheming. He's expelling demons by the prince of demons. He's violating the law. He's violating the Sabbath. It is to these that Jesus says, you hypocrites, you frauds, you blind fools. St. Peter directly contradicts him and says, far be it from me to allow you to be crucified or to let anything like that happen to you, something completely contrary to God's plan. It is to him that Jesus said, get out of my sight, you Satan. You are not judging by God's standards, but by man's. To Thomas, however, Jesus never calls him out. Jesus never criticizes him. Jesus never reprimands him. Rather, he answers his question. He addresses the issue. And perhaps that's a great example for all of us. The distinction of being a critic and being a follower. Being a student. Being one who follows the shepherd. It perhaps is something we can see similar to today in how many people respond to the teachings of the church. I don't like it, therefore the church is wrong. This is not politically correct, therefore the church is bigoted, or therefore the church needs to get with the times. I don't like this particular teaching, therefore I'm right, more right than 2,000 years of church tradition, and I'm leaving the church. Or someone who says, I struggle with that teaching, and I want to know why the church teaches it. Asking the question, as opposed to making the critical statement. And as we see with Jesus, we get so much further by asking the question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? The rich young man didn't quite like the answer, but Jesus looked at him with love and answered his question. Follow the commandments, go sell all you have, and give to the poor. Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? If Thomas had not asked the question, we would not have the answer. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. How am I to know that he is risen? How am I to believe it if I do not see him for myself, touch his wounds, and put my hand in his side? Jesus doesn't say, shame on you for not believing. He says simply, you believe because you have seen, or asks him, do you believe because you have seen? Blessed are those who have not seen and still believe. Jesus never reprimands Thomas, and yet he's the one that's gotten the bum rap. We don't refer to St. Philip as St. Philip, the one who didn't get it. We don't say St. Peter, the Satan. But we always say doubting Thomas. Well, maybe doubting isn't all that it's as bad as we think it is. Because as I always like to say, and you've perhaps heard me say it before, doubt leads to questions. Questions lead to answers. The right answers lead to a deepening of faith. If the answers lead us away from the faith, then they are obviously the wrong answers. And Thomas the Apostle, or perhaps more accurately known as Thomas the Theologian, is one who asked the questions. He didn't say, I don't get this, I've stopped listening. He says, how can we if we don't know where you are going? And there are plenty of other saints, the great theologians of our church's history, who have done the same thing. How can we explain a God who is three persons in one being, in one Godhead? How can we understand a Messiah who is fully God and fully man? How can we understand the Holy Spirit from what Jesus has revealed to us in the scriptures? Nowhere do they say, this doesn't make any sense, so we're going to downplay it to something that makes more sense to us. And my favorite of them was another Thomas named Aquinas, who asked many questions, questions he labeled in his writings as objections, answering those objections, answering those questions, and filling 17 volumes, at least of this publication of it, that is known as the Great Theology, or the Summa Theologica. It is a great temptation in our modern day and age when there are so many critics of the church, so many critics of its teachings, who simply write off the church's teachings, conveniently ignore it in favor of other things more palatable or easy to understand, or simply teachings we like better than others. But how often do we ask the questions? How often do we seek the answers? And we have one great resource that you've heard me make reference to time and time again, in which we can seek those answers to the questions we ask. And I always encourage, I always will, get the A Catechism of the Catholic Church, not the Baltimore Catechism. We haven't used the Baltimore Catechism since before I was born. And I'm not that young anymore. Ask the questions of our teachers, our theologians, our priests. Look up using the internet, which was such a great resource. Learn about our doctrine. Learn about our teachings. Learn about our history. Ask the questions. And don't be ashamed of the fact that one might be doubting one's faith or questioning one's faith. And please do not run to the confessional if you think you are. Doubt leads to questions. Questions lead to answers. Answers lead to a deepening of faith. Perhaps it's God who inspires those questions within us. And instead of cowering, thinking we're committing a sin, let us tackle those questions and seek those answers as Thomas does in today's gospel more than once, and is the only one who is never reprimanded by Christ. So again, let's give the man a break, please. Let us see him as Thomas the theologian rather than Thomas the doubter, because we would not have the answers Jesus gives were it not for the questions that Thomas asks.